The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Well, I hope you get a passage like this often in your life, and somebody says this about you. This is a passage of Scripture we're going to talk about today that people, just about everybody I know in this church, follows and does well with it. You live by it. And you don't just live by it because you say you live by it or you believe it or that you kind of have a few actions, but it is ingrained in the character of most of the people in this room. We're going to talk about what it means to take care of other people, people that are hurting in the world, people that need some help, need a helping hand. This is the kind of message that you probably want to go on Facebook and underneath the comments section, you want to tag all of your kids and tell them they need to listen to it. They need to get ready to take care of you someday because you've been taking care of other people. There's the passage we're going to talk about is not really this quote that I hear from Scripture. I've heard it all throughout my life. I heard it from church people, heard it from my own family, my parents and grandparents. They would quote this and quote it with different meanings out of context. One of the quotings out of context for this, charity begins at home, was talking about the finances or money. That money needs to be spent at the house on your family rather than on other people and not necessarily even given to the church. Somebody who didn't want to tithe to the church, didn't want to give, would quote this, well, charity begins at home. And then you get a little better interpretation of it, and that better interpretation is you're to take care of people in the family. There's a time when we all just can't do what we used to do before. How many of you here are just as strong and have just as good a balance as you had 20 years ago? Anybody raise your hand if you got that? And nobody has that? We had a big debate. I may have brought this up in a service before, but it was a big debate in our family about probably about 10 years ago, how to grow old gracefully. You're supposed to be able to stand up without using your hands from a chair. You remember me talking about that in a service? You're supposed to stand up. But I don't think I brought up you're supposed to stand up without using your hands, but also you can't groan when you get up. there I did it. It's natural. I've been groaning for about 20 years now. Can't hardly avoid it. Retirement's around the corner for lots of folks. Some of you are already retired. I heard somebody say this week that retirement is what you do between doctor visits. And I was talking with Karen on the way up this up here. I talked to a couple of guys that are about to retire, and I wanted to say to them that to their wives, they need to warn them that retirement is twice as much husband on half the pay. I got a poem I want to read you about aging, just for a second, and you may relate to this as well. Look, I can't even read it. I got to bring out the glasses. It says, looking good. My face in the mirror isn't wrinkled or drawn. My house isn't dirty and the cobwebs are gone. My garden looks lovely and so does my lawn. I think I might never put my glasses back on. 1 Timothy 5:8 is the passage we're going to deal with today. And that passage, really that misquoting of that passage comes from all the way back to 1642, a book written by Thomas Brown, and he used the quote, charity begins at home, and folks of the church took that and boiled it down to mean whatever they needed it to mean at the moment about charity. But the passage that most believe that this quote came from is found in 1 Timothy 5:8. And 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This passage is encouraging us to take care of our people, to take care of our family. Now this, we're going to look at the larger context of this in just a minute, of the whole chapter of 1 Timothy 5, what happens is, as Paul's writing this, he's saying this church body you have here is like a family, and it is a, it's not all he's saying in this, but he's saying it's like a family, and we are to treat each other, take care of each other, be the kind of people that look out for each other and not just let them waste away and suffer. Now, he's speaking specifically to individual families, but the application applies to the church. Now, this passage is he's treating a circumstance, a situation happening at this time in this New Testament church, but it does apply to us. Now, we may not have the exact same circumstances, the exact same situation as Timothy would be dealing with, but we have some similar principles that we can apply to our life. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn back to the very first of this chapter, chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, and I'm reading in the NIV, and I'm going to touch on some of the things Paul is teaching them. It's a general, he's giving instructions how to behave in the church. Number one, verse 1, do not rebuke an older man harshly. What he's saying, this word used for rebuke in the Greek language when it was used in a previous chapter, is saying do not be aggressively harsh. And you could say violent in your reproach of an older man. Don't strike them with your words. Don't act hateful toward them. But you are to encourage them. The second half of this verse says, exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers. So this is taking the church to a level of intimacy that does not exist in the secular world. We are to talk to each other, treat each other in words that are kind, words that are loving. Some people have the personality that causes them to be abrasive. You have an abrasive personality, you've gotten away with that your whole life. People think it's funny, maybe you think it's funny, but there's a certain time some things happen and that abrasiveness may not be a graciousness at all in the church, what Paul is prescribing here. I teach this principle to some leaders. You know, there are certain phases of life, things happen to you. And for those that are approaching the latter part of middle age, what happens in your 20s, that your behavior, your actions that might have been charming, that might, you know, show up to church with two different shoes on. Now, that's kind of funny when you're in your 20s and you're just getting started. You're a youth minister or a young pastor. In your late 40s, you probably don't need to be doing that. You probably need to get it together a little bit better than that. But what those things that are problems in your early age become gaping holes in your character in later age. And those things that you have in your life that are gaps in your character in your 40s and 50s may become offensive in your 60s and 70s to others. If you allow yourself to just behave how you want to behave out and not in check by the Holy Spirit. Now, is this making sense? You kind of gossip a little when you're 40, but it kind of gets to be too much. It can be too much. So he is saying that we are to be people that are better than that. We're to be kinder than that. Kinder in our words, kinder in our instruction, kinder in our reproof of people. Verse 2, older women as mothers, treating people with respect, younger women as sisters with absolute purity. When you see someone, you're seeing them as family. Verse 3, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. There are some that are in great need and some that are not in need at all. We will know that by knowing them personally. You can know where they stand and the needs they may have. Verse 4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. I was looking at jokes about aging, and one of the comments is like a Reader's Digest comment about aging. It says you need to be nice to your kids because they get to pick which nursing home you're going into. I got news for them. I'm not leaving it up to them. I'm planning ahead. We're going to have a deposit put down somewhere, a little better location. Children are supposed to take care of their parents. It may be difficult at times. It might be more than you feel like you can handle at some times, but we are to be those kind of people, people that take care of your parents. Now, that may take more time than you want it to, may cause you to mumble and complain to your spouse, to your friends, but you're doing that, you're honoring God. You're honoring God with your actions. Verse 5, if you got lost, we're in 1 Timothy 5, verse 5. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. So that person is dependent on the Lord. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even when she lives. And the writer that I read from commentaries about this particular passage said that these women that are basically those that are living off the retirement pension, they're living it up, partying, doing whatever. They're not really honoring God with their lifestyle, or they could possibly have reverted to the only real job they would have available to them at the day, and that would have been prostitution. So they're saying those folks are away from God. Verse 7, give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. So he's about to give us the way to live, the instructions of things that we should do. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, they were living in a culture where that Greco-Roman culture would have valued aging and valued you taking care of your family. And so if a group of believers, a family of God, is joined together, but they have neglected the senior citizens of their group and the widows of their group, they're a bad witness. They are behaving worse than that culture that's around them. Now, you can see how that would happen, by the way. The church accepts all kinds of people. All kinds of people have gotten saved and become part of this church, and they're from all strata of life, socioeconomically and religiously and education-wise. And you may have people in that church that have lived very ungodly lives, very selfish lives, and they have become believers in Christ and are following the Lord, and they just have not learned the way to act toward other people. So Paul is teaching Timothy, you teach your people how to behave so that they are a witness to the world. One writer says about them, I believe it's Bob Utley says about them, he calls it a handle for criticism. Don't give the world a handle for criticism for the way you behave in your own family or the way you behave in your own church. But be the people that show the love of Christ, that are the hands and feet of Christ in the lives of those in your very close circles of families. Verse 9, no widow may be put on the list. By the way, this gives real clear, specific instructions for a few minutes for this church, how to decide those that you need to be helping. And he picks the age of 60. No widow may be put on the list of widows until she is over 60 and has been faithful to her husband and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. So he's given some responsibility to those that are going to be taken care of. He's saying to those that are being taken care of, you need to be above reproach as well. Be women that are honorable in your life, honoring God with your actions, with your words and with your service and your deeds. Be those kind of people. And when you get to an age where you need a little more help, you need help going on through life, the church will be there for you to help you get along. Verse 11, as for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. Boy, this is a good lesson. By the way, this is not the thrust of this message today, but this might be a passage that we need to hear. This is one of those you can put in your back pocket and save it for another day or another time when the Holy Spirit brings it up and brings it to mind. Idle people cause problems. Okay, people that live idle lives cause trouble. So he's saying, besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. Y'all may know somebody like that that's got too much time on their hands. Too much time on your hands can get you into trouble. Verse 14. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunities for slander. That's don't let the enemy get a handle on your life. Verse 15. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are already in need. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. That's talking about taking care of the leaders in the church. Take care of the leaders in church. Verse 19, do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that others may take warning. Now, that's a hard passage. I could just gloss right over, by the way. I could move right on past that. But people need correction. Someone is doing bad behavior in the body of Christ. It needs to be addressed. Needs to be addressed. Now go all the way back to verse 1. How do you address it? In kindness. In kindness. To restore them with the purpose of restoration. You don't rebuke them harshly. Verse 21. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. That's some good instructions. Paul's given Timothy some good leadership advice on how to take care of his people. A friend of mine grew up a missionary in West Africa, and he said what was amazing about this village he lived in West Africa was when someone died in that village, that not just the family would come to the funeral, you know, the little mission church would conduct a funeral, not just the family would come, but the community would come. But not only would the community come, but outside communities. So if we were to have a funeral here today, someone might come all the way from Florine. They might come from Zwali. They might come from East Texas. They would come over and they'd come to be a part of that service. And the reason they would come to be a part of that is I asked him why they would do it. And he said, because they want to see how that person is treated after they die. Because they know that how that person is treated, they will be treated. They see the way, the character of that church can be, that group will be displayed in that funeral. So we're to take care of each other. Galatians 6:10 says this, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those that are the household of faith. We're to be people that love the people of the church. When I read this passage, Galatians 6:10, I had an image pop to mind. And that's, you know, you may have these kind of things happen to you. Have it all the time. This image was this. I saw a little kid standing next to a pond, and he had a rock in his hand, and he threw the rock into the pond, and it hit. And what happens when that rock hits the water? First, it kind of makes a bloop, but then you see the circles that go out and out and out. And the ones right next to the rock are particularly intense. Bigger splash. But it doesn't stop there. The ripples go out further and further and further and further. This body of Christ, as you give your lives to serve the Lord and serve each other and take care of each other, and you're kind and you're generous and you're loving and you do things for each other, that won't just stop here. It'll go beyond here. By the way, I moved this message up in alignment from number 10 to today on purpose. Because on the 23rd, we're going to observe world hunger. And world hunger, talk about world hunger. And it's not just acknowledging that there's hungry people. It's acknowledging that we as believers have a responsibility and a call to minister to those in need. To give financially, to give our time, to give our prayers, to give our concern, to be people that not only live on the original splash, but we live in the ripples. We live way out there, taking care of people. People you may never meet. I hear a lot of criticism of Operation Christmas Child, by the way. I do. I don't ever tell y'all that. I'm not even going to tell you the criticism I hear because I don't want to tell it. You can look it up if you want to. The criticism is basically they don't believe that it's as effective all the way down the line, all the way to the very end, as it should be. But I want to tell you what you're doing is you are doing something. You're doing something that ministers in a ripple effect around the world. You're making a difference somewhere. I don't know how effective it is. I don't run that organization. I'm not on the inner circles of that. But I do know it's an action that is reaching out beyond this church into the world. When you give to Lottie Moon, you're reaching into all the world. You're going everywhere. You give to Annie Armstrong or GBO, these missions giving devices that we have in Southern Baptist churches. It is you be acting in kindness and love beyond this town. It's living out here. Let us do good to everyone. Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. It'll be in your bulletin, in the little handout. It'll be on the screen. James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? What good is that? I'll tell you what I like about this is a community. You're good at this too. People that are hunters and have lots of meat in their freezer like to give it away. Some don't. There's a few that don't. But everyone I know does. They like to give gifts to other people. I have quite a bit in the freezer, and that quite a bit, I try to whittle it down as fast as I can by sharing it with other people. If you're just talking about it and not doing it, you're not living according to the scripture. James says, don't just talk about it. Don't just say it. Don't give your well wishes, but be people of action. I heard my man confess this week about what kind of person he was and what his character is. He said, well, I guess really who I am is what I do, and I haven't been doing that. Who you are is how you act and what you do with your hands. So if you are purposely, intentionally giving and sharing and loving and taking care of people, that's who you are. That's who you are. I watched Karen take care of her mother, and thank goodness I'll be down in the bed before she is. She's better at taking care of people than I am. 10 times better. Because what she did is an action. The actions were real. Matthew 22. This is a commandment from the Lord, that second commandment. And the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. For a long period of time, people who are church advisors talk to churches about their brand for like the last 20 years. What is your brand? What are you trying to say to the world? Who you are? Who do you think you are? What do you accomplish? Are you really good with children's ministry? Are you really good with worship and that worship's dynamic? Do you have a pastor that's a great teacher and orator? Do you do a great community service? What we say you are in this community? I want to ask you, you don't have to answer this out loud, but what do you think your brand is in Manny, Louisiana? What do people say about you? That's a pretty good church. They're nice people. That's a church that they're kind of off to themselves. They do their own thing. But when you go there, they're nice to you. What do they say? I don't know what they say. Maybe you know what they say. But you could easily choose this to be your brand. This is a church that loves the community and cares for the community. And not only says it, but they give to make it happen. Not only they give, they show up to make it happen. They go to community outreach events. They create community outreach events. They go to the high school and do things. Go to the elementary school and do things. They visit nursing homes. They have Bible studies out at the lake. They do whatever it might be. You could easily say to the world by your actions, this is my brand. This is who I am. This is who we are as a church. I hope they say this. That's a place where you can meet Jesus. I hope that's the brand. That's a place where you can have an encounter with the Holy Spirit in a time of worship where you hear the word and you sing in joy and you know that you will meet with Jesus there. You will see him and hear him and you will be drawn close to him. So here's some things, here's some applications, some so whats. If you were to have this message today and hear about Charity Begins at Home, let's walk away with a few so whats. So whats. First one is, this passage says that you should take care of your family. If your mama gets sick, you go take care of your mama. Your aunt doesn't have anybody to take care of her, you go take care of her. If grandpa's all alone, hadn't been visited in the home for a long, long time, and sitting in front of a TV watching the same game shows all day long and never talking to another human, you need to get in that nursing home and go talk to him. Spend some time with them. Take care of your family. Second thing is, show love to the community around you. This people here, this town. Show some love. Last thing is this, you show compassion for those around the world. So when time comes, next time around, to do these children's boxes, just do it with great love and compassion and not with duty. Make it happen. Make it happen with love and kindness. Next thing that happens in the community, where you're to help minister to a group in town that's underprivileged, just jump right in and do it. Jump right in and do it with joy. Show compassion for people around you. Now, the terrible thing about this kind of sermon is this. If you try to do this in your own flesh, and your own abilities, and your own self-will, you will feel so guilty and fail. You'll be kind of good for a little while. Because by the way, there's secular people that are good to their grannies. There are some. But if you try to do things in the flesh, you will flop. You can only do it by the power of Christ living in you. That power of Jesus in you allows you to show the love into someone's life that they need. When we when I first started out, I'd get young people come up to me all the time, young boys, and tell me that they were called to be a preacher. That happened pretty often. Doesn't happen near as often now as it used to. And that what they were really saying is, I want to speak at your college service of 300 people on Tuesday night. That's what they were saying. I want to be the guy on stage. And I would always say to them, yes, you can do that. I've got a place for you. I want you to go to the nursing home on Tuesday afternoons and lead a ministry there. And you can lead Bible study every week there if you want to. You could preach every week. They might let you do it 5 days a week. And the ones that would go and do that are the ones that succeeded in life. The ones that said, oh no, I'm really talking about this. They never got to do that. When you're serving the Lord out of just loving the Lord, you know Him, He's alive in your heart, you're growing, and you go out and serve Him in wherever it may be, glory or no glory, there's a power of God in that. It's amazing. So we'll have a time of invitation in just a minute. The invitation is this. One is, if you don't know Jesus, you need to give your life to Him. You need to give your life to Him and trust Him, because He will empower you to love Him better, to honor Him better, to love other people. But you may be living selfishly for yourself and have been for a long time, and the Holy Spirit's working on you and saying to you, today's the day to give that up and give to Me. I don't mean me. I mean Him. Today's the day you got to turn away from being selfish and give to the Lord. Now, He'll bless you. That's a side effect. You'll be greatly blessed by it, but He'll be honored by it, and that's the purpose. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this one misquoted verse that doesn't exist in Scripture that points us to the real Word, and the real Word says that we're to love people with the love of Jesus completely. We're to be people that take care of our senior citizens and our people that are infirmed and people that have troubles in life. We're to be those kind of people that take care of them. We know that You give us everything that we have. And Father, all our wealth comes from You. And Father, we want to offer that back to You in service and loving people so that You might be known and honored. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand for the time of invitation.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.